It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, it is Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. And B. Scott, your pedicast virginity is about to be taken. You are about to be part of a pedicast, my
Don't
friend.
Pop my pedicast here.
There you go.
I ain't mad at it.
There you go. All right, so text in if you got petties this week, 713-572-4610. There's no pettier show than Payne and Pendergast, and we accentuate it by not only revealing our own petties, but the pettiness of others out there.
Yeah.
Highlighting it. And I'm going to start here. And I didn't realize when I would start here that this would actually strike a nerve with Brandon Scott.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
This is Kim Mulkey, the head basketball, women's head basketball coach at LSU, formerly at Baylor. For the second straight year, she and her team knocked out in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Which was brought up to her by this particular reporter asking the question after the loss.
Jaden Smith, KLSU Sports. Coach, it's the second straight year you guys get eliminated in the Elite Eight. Just
terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that terrible or is that good?
Terrible.
Is it? How many Final Fours you play in?
None.
So it's probably pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
You want to know what my petty answer would have been to that question if she had asked me that? If I was who sounds like a young student reporter, if I'm not mistaken. That sounded like a young man.
It did.
Okay.
Yep.
My answer would have been about as many as you over the last couple of years. How many have you played in, ma'am?
Yeah.
Because that's just the point of the question. Like, that, to me, it's just unnecessarily. You're Kim Mulkey. You're a millionaire. Yeah. One of the best of all time in your respective
player
profession.
And coach. She was a great player back
in
the day,
She's borderline an icon.
Hall of Famer across the board. Yeah.
And she wants to be petty with a kid. That's a kid. Her kid is older than him, probably.
Oh, yeah.
He plays in the majors, I think.
Been around a while, yeah.
So, like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't get why she got to act like that.
She got the token laugh from a few people that are probably on the LSU beat.
Yeah.
Like, we better laugh at her joke. We better laugh. She's going to give it. We're next.
Yeah. The joke that wasn't funny. How many Final Fours has the kid reporter played in?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
You know who's petty about this? Stephen A. Smith.
I'm not going to take away from the fact that Kim Mulkey is a great coach and an established coach. We just need to finally say this about her.
She's very rude. She's very rude. She's very, very rude.
Yes, very condescending.
I mean, she's rude, she's condescending, and unnecessarily so to too many people. But it's always with the right one. See, she don't go up to the wrong ones like that. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like she knows, Shannon, who to do that to and who not to do that to. Because certain people you do that to, they're going to clap back at you. But she is a phenomenal coach, one of the best ever. But she's just a very, very rude person.
Yeah, I agree with everything Stephen A. said right there.
Yeah.
And
I would, and just to be clear, I would have been the wrong one who would have clapped back.
Yes, absolutely. That's who he's referring to you as the wrong one, right?
Yeah,
there.
Stephen A. and I have only met once, and he does not remember my name, I'm sure, but I am the one he's talking about.
He, look, I don't know why this is. It feels like in college basketball, this is where that type of interaction, petty, snapback, sore loser, whiny. It seems like college basketball by far is the sport, both men's and women's, is where this happens more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Why is that, Brandon
So
Scott?
I think it's a college sports thing in general, and then more acute in basketball just because the beats tend to be a little bit smaller.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously they play more often, right? So I think that kind of lends itself to that, and maybe you just hear them more. But then also just the overall college sports media landscape is one where there's just an imbalance in terms of control and respect, like the interview subjects, and especially the coaches, the ADs, like the people that are really empowered, not even necessarily the players, but the powerful adults, if you will, there seems to be an imbalance in how they are allowed to treat the media. And then you're talking about reporters who are not all just necessarily, you know, adults like you and I, but in some cases, and I used to be one of these guys, are student reporters.
Yes.
So they're 20, they're the age of some of the players, trying to get their feet wet, trying to get their foot in the door, that sort of thing.
Easily bullyable.
Very, very easily bullyable and impressionable and that sort of thing. And so I think there's just a more significant power imbalance. Whereas in the NFL, NBA, these guys got unions and rules and bylaws and associations and whatnot. Like, you ain't about to go handle up the Pro Football Writers of America the way Kim Mulkey does these kids at these press conferences.
No.
But there is a different, and I would say, power imbalance that lends itself to this type of thing.
All right, so the Browns owners, the Cleveland Browns owners, the Haslams, Jimmy Haslam, D Haslam, we're about to hear from her in a second. They were at the league meetings this week. Jimmy Haslam was. And was asked about Deshaun Watson, the contract, the trade.
Awkward.
Which has turned out to be the worst trade in the history of team sports. I don't think that's an exaggeration. Deshaun Watson is going to end up getting paid $230 million. They are going to have cap problems for at least another 3 years because of it. And he started, I didn't realize the number was this small. He started 19 games for them. 19 games for them. Jimmy Haslam basically closed the book on the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland. He can put up all the workout videos he wants wearing Cleveland Browns gear. He ain't coming back. Jimmy Haslam said this: "We took a big swing and a miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't. We gave up a lot of draft picks to get him. So we got to dig ourselves out of that hole. The trade was an entire organization decision, and it ends with D and I, so hold us accountable."
Yes.
End quote.
Yes.
The owner of the Browns.
And they shall.
They are right now. Yeah.
They shall hold you accountable, and you are obviously accountable from the financial standpoint because you own the team, you write the checks, and so you're going to have to pay that, what is it, $48, $49, close to $50 million over the next, what is he owed?
$92 million over the next 2 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Over the next 2 years after you've already acknowledged and sort of accepted, it seems.
Well, that's
like,
not even the extent of all the money either. Like, they've shoved money. They restructured his deal.
Right.
So they've already paid him 45 of the 46 to shove it into future years so they could pay Myles Garrett to get 17 meaningless sacks for them.
Think about it, Sean, too. You can argue the point you just made about it being the worst trade in professional sports. You can argue it from different angles, like depending on how you look at it. But there's the sports angle that you took, which I think is, you know, objectively fair.
Yeah.
to make that assessment. And then all the other stuff around it, which we know what the other stuff is, but you could make the argument that they shouldn't have even been interested to begin with. They were, and then it worked out like this. Like, from almost every angle that could possibly be, this was bad.
To your point, it wasn't just a conventional, we gave up a lot of draft picks for the right to overpay a guy.
Yeah.
This was the conversation that Dee Haslam, one of the co-owners along with her husband Jimmy, was having with the media after the trade was made. You just made a trade for a franchise quarterback, and what you're talking about with the media is there's a big opportunity to talk about the ills of sex trafficking.
Are you concerned that, I mean, that could be death threats, all that kind of stuff, when they, especially when your first game, his first game back is in Houston?
You know, I hope the conversation comes to what can we do going forward to get the information out to help other people. And I think there's just a huge opportunity to talk about the major issues in our country in this area, such as sex trafficking and massage parlor use, et cetera. There's so much information that we can glean from this, and the opportunity is tremendous. So we can continue to talk about Deshaun, or we can talk about the major issues our country face and make a difference.
Okay. Now, keep in mind,
yikes,
the quarterback that they had just acquired had denied doing any of these things.
Right.
Nor said, I didn't do it.
Nor was he actually accused of sex trafficking.
Right.
He was accused, like, she's taking a different angle and a different point, making a different point than what was presented.
Right.
Because he was actually accused of sexual predatory misconduct.
Yeah.
Like, the theoretical sex trafficker would have been somebody that we hadn't heard of.
Yes.
Not Deshaun Watson.
It was just wild, so, man. Like,
and just the fact that you even have to talk about sex in an inappropriate kind of way, whether it's trafficking or just straight up violating somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a straight up trade for a guy. But no, now can we have a larger conversation about the ills of all things sex trafficking?
You Yikes. Traded 7 draft picks and paid a guy $230 million for the right to discuss sex trafficking at training camp.
Yeah, which I don't think you want to do.
Oh my God. All right, I want to make sure we get these other petties in. Boy, I could go. We got 2 more Dee Haslams that we could play. Maybe we'll play them later.
My goodness.
Her on counseling. Oh my God. Fran Brown is the head coach at Syracuse.
Yes.
I believe he was a Bear Bryant Award finalist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because that name came across.
He's a big personality.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it was an interview, but yeah, because, you know, like, we obviously do the Bear Bryant Award.
Yeah, I think he was in town for that, if I'm not mistaken. Well, he's frustrated. The NCAA put the kibosh on a spring game that would have taken place between Syracuse and Colorado. Here is Fran Brown feeling petty towards the NCAA.
We should have just told Coach Belichick and Bill O'Brien to come up with it, and then they would have let them do it, and then it would have all went right. We shouldn't have been the first 2 dudes to say, you know, damn well they wasn't about to let Coach Prime Time and Fran Brown be the first 2 guys to do it. It was over their dead bodies, so that wasn't happening.
Okay, that was saucy.
Yeah.
Now he went on to right after that say, "I'm just joking. Yeah. I'm just kidding."
But he let that joke carry on for quite a while for it to be just a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Right? This was that. Now the audio got to be a little too long, and when he went on for a couple of minutes, but I am with Fran Brown on this. He went on to say that this was going to be the 2 teams getting together, not only to play in a spring game. And keep in mind, this is in an environment now where more universities are canceling their spring games.
Right.
You know, Matt Rhule said we canceled it because other teams are going to see the film and they're going to basically look at it like they're on Amazon shopping for players or whatever. Oh, whatever, Matt Rhule.
Espionage, huh?
Yeah.
Secrets.
Yeah. Coach Prime and Fran Brown are doing the opposite. They want to get together and play against each other. But the thing I thought was cool that Fran Brown was talking about, it wouldn't just be to get together for a game, but it would be to get together for, you know, they would have like a breakout for like financial literacy for all these guys with their NIL money. So it would be almost like a
workshop,
like a football convention almost.
Yeah, there you go.
Know, like we'd have a game, but we would have some things to, you know, that would be beneficial.
A mini symposium.
For today's college players. Symposium is a great word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So leave it to the NCAA to put the kibosh on something that sounds like it could have been super productive and fun.
Yeah. And I don't really understand. Like, I didn't even realize this was happening until we heard from Fran Brown and, you know, the joking outrage, if you will, that he had for it. But I don't get the resistance toward this. but I do understand what Fran Brown is trying to say here. In terms of, hey, if this had looked different, or if there were different voices behind this, would the response to it have been different? I do feel like he might have had a point. Now, I am surprised. This is the Pettycast. I am very surprised to hear a college football. Maybe I just don't listen to enough Fran Brown press conferences. Why would I? But I am very surprised that he would take a joke to those lengths. Like a college football coach who usually, outside of Prime, usually play it by the book or straight down the line, straight down the middle,
yeah,
that he would kind of venture out a little bit and make that joke.
Stretching his legs out a little bit.
A little bit. And an elongated joke there.
All right, we've had this actual request from people. Maybe not so much for a petty cast, but we've had, hey, are you guys going to cite Rafael Devers' stats so far this year at any point during the show today? Yeah, I feel like the petty cast is the perfect place to do this. He went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts again
last night.
Yesterday.
Wait, again?
Again.
Wait, how many strikeouts again?
He's 0-for-19 with now 15 strikeouts.
Oh, because I lost track at 10.
Yeah.
He had 10 not too long ago, and I was like, damn.
Now, he was right. We asked him yesterday, do you think you'll get a hit today, Rafi?
No.
Yeah, he didn't. Do you think you'll actually, like, not strike out?
No.
Yeah. Well, on the 2 walks he got, he didn't strike out. But when you swing the bat, do you think you're going to make contact in fair territory today, maybe?
No.
No, probably not. Fun fact? You want a fun fact?
Yeah.
He's got 15 strikeouts in 19 at-bats. Rafael Devers. In 1995... Tony Gwynn had 15 strikeouts in 585 at-bats.
Tony Gwynn, he ain't.
He ain't Tony Gwynn, no. Man. Does the afternoon show still have Tony Gwynn Jr. on their show from time to time? I guess we're not really. Well, now we're in baseball season.
Yeah, once we get in the thick of the baseball season, I'd imagine. So he's still doing radio out in our sister station in San Diego, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
So he should still be some sort of Odyssey MLB insider.
I know show's listening, right? I think.
Yeah, he'll let us know.
So, yeah, if you're I'm not telling you how to program the drive. With Sterner and Hughley, you guys are doing fine on your own. But that's a fun fact to bring up to Tony Gwynn Jr., you know?
Yeah, and you don't have to encourage them to bring on Tony. They like to bring on Tony. He's a good guest.
Yeah.
That would be that'd be an interesting thing to bring up. But honestly, like, just the idea that Alex Bregman's presence and Rafael Devers not playing third base where he wasn't really good anymore.
If this ruins him, I am so here for this.
It is hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. Petties, people texting in their petties. 713-572-4610. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Petty about those damn torpedo bats. Anything that helps the Yankees hurts me. Well, there's nothing stopping the Astros from ordering torpedo bats.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that the Yankees got them. It's how is this allowed and we ain't did it yet.
Yes.
Like somebody pointed out, you know, correctly, hey, if everybody's allowed to do it, it ain't cheating. Well, that's why I said it feels like cheating and it ain't, you know?
Yes.
Because it does. You cannot say that a specialized bat where the barrel is somewhere specific to where you hit the ball doesn't feel like cheating. But if they say it's not against the rules, then it's obviously not cheating. Why aren't you doing this, especially 3 extra base hits?
Yes. Yeah, you Astros. Could use it right about now. You could use anything.
Come on, Dale. Get Jake Myers a torpedo bat.
Hey, speaking of the drive, there's a texter that says Kim Mulkey sounds like Mama Sterner. Hey, Ben, can you isolate Kim Mulkey at the end of that cut there?
This is all Southern white women sound the same. What are we doing here?
That's exactly what we're doing.
Pettycast it is.
It's the Pettycast, yeah. And by the way, it's no shade at Mama Sterner.
No, I can hear it. Yeah. I can hear it, though. Yeah.
Mama Sterner threatened to whoop my ass many a time.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, Ben.
I take a word for it.
How many Final Fours you play in?
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
None.
They sound exactly alike.
Cut from a similar cloth.
Yeah, I bet their coaching style is very similar as well.
Yeah, except that, like I said, I would clap back at Kim Mulkey. I would not clap back at Mama Sterner. All right, if Mama Sterner puts me in my place, I will. Maybe I'll call Clint afterward and see if he can put in a good word.
Wash your mouth out with a little bit of Coors Light.
See, that doesn't sound so bad.
Yes, ma'am.
But it feels like when she says that, I think we're getting waterboarded with Coors Light.
Yes.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with Coors Light. I'm like, well, that's okay. I mean, it's a nice cold beer, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I would choose the Yingling flight, but I'm not the one making this decision.
Yeah, no.
But I think we're getting waterboarded with the beer. Is what
yeah,
it no. Like.
Yeah, if you're getting waterboarded with the beer, you don't get to
not
pick
as
your,
much fun.
You don't get to pick your poison either. You
I got guess
to,
not.
You get to just kind of suffer through.
All right, that was the Pettycast. That was a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
All right. Do fans want an 18-game season? I brought this up with Seth yesterday, and he said unequivocally he doesn't think that he thinks more fans don't want it than do one. And I put up a poll. Also, the rule changes get voted on today at the league meetings in West Palm Beach. Let's get on the record. B. Scott and I are going to try to predict what the vote will be. Will these rule changes pass today at the meetings in West Palm Beach? That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Someone said the players on the college level show more maturity than the coaches. Oftentimes they do.
Yeah.
They do. The college basketball coaches are babies, man.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
And it's weird, too, because the coaches tend to demand a certain level of maturity and professionalism from their players that they are not always themselves willing to extend.
It's wild. Yeah. It's a little hypocritical sometimes. It's wild. What percentage? Well, let me start off with this, B. Scott. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. Welcome back in. We're going to try to predict what the 32 teams are going to do today at the owners' meeting when it comes to some of these rule changes that have been proposed. One of the things they are supposedly discussing, though, is the 18-game season, going from 17 games to 18 games.
Yeah.
Seth is not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I can go either way. It's more football. I do think that we are reaching critical mass with the human anatomy here
in terms of
the amount of punishment players are taking. What do you want? Do you want the 18-game season?
Yeah. Selfishly, I'll take more football. So I feel like I'd be lying and disingenuous if I tried to do some hand-wringing on this, because I would just be here for it. You know what I mean? The next game, I would treat it like it the next game. Now, I'm probably a little bit more closer to the indifference part that you are, but I will say, like, when it was 16 games, I was against it going to 17. You know, so I just hate odd numbers.
I really went straight to 18.
Yeah, I hate odd numbers, but I also thought it was unnecessary. So, like, if I'm going to go with that same logic, I should probably hate this. But now I'm just kind of accepting of the way of the world. They're asking you to do more with less.
Yeah.
Now, the cap has gone up. The players are getting paid more money. So more work with the more money seems to make sense. As a consumer, I'd be here for it. I just feel it feels very unnecessary.
It feels, well, it's a money grab, obviously.
Yeah.
It's if they do it. I feel like a second bye week needs to somehow be part of this.
Yes.
I don't
know how they do it if they don't.
How
they do it without a second bye week.
I've heard the suggestion. I don't think this would happen, but I've heard the suggestion that you go to 18 games, but other than quarterbacks and specialists, that everybody only plays 16 or 17. Like, there's a self-imposed bye week for maybe certain guys.
Yeah.
The strategy of that is interesting to me. It's a little gimmicky, but I think it's necessary maybe just to allow guys to rest.
That's also close to load management, or a buzzword that we do not like in basketball,
and probably won't
like in football.
And which football has tried to, I think, generally as a sport, held itself above basketball from that perspective.
Correct.
Now, if it were for the Texans, let's say, means you're playing the Cowboys every year, the 18th game is now like a rivalry game.
Oh.
Now, that gets interesting to me. I could definitely go for that, playing the Cowboys every year. I hate that they only play once every 4 years. So, you are a yes. It sounds like kind of a subdued yes.
I would go yes, because I don't want to be dishonest. Like, part of me wants to be sanctimonious about it, but no, I'd be here for
about 1,000 votes in the poll. Simple poll for NFL fans. Do you want an 18-game regular season? What do you think? I don't know if you've looked at it.
I have not
looked
at the poll. I saw that you put it up, but I have not looked at the results.
Okay, good. What do you think won that? Yes or no? And then I'll have you guess the percentage.
I'm going to go with yes.
You think more fans want it than don't want it?
Yes.
The 18-game regular season.
Yeah, I think on your poll, specific to your poll, because, you know, obviously you cover football. So, yeah, you got a lot of football fans following you. Yes. And the percentage, I'm going to go, man, I think it's overwhelming. I'm going to be conservative, though. I'm going to say it's 65%.
65%. Actually, no is the winner.
Get out of here.
No is the winner. About 1,000 votes, so not an insignificant amount. 58.4% said no.
Really?
They don't want the 18th game. Now, we got some no's on the text page yesterday, and among the things that were brought up were, I think there is a concern that just injuries are stacking up, and now they're starting to carry over into the next year. We saw some people say that the records, you can throw the record book out the window now. because now all these records are going to be based on 18 games and not 16 games or even 14 games, going back to OJ rushing for 2,000 yards in 14 games back in the day.
It's a petty me already does that, like when the Saquon Barkley chasing the Eric Dickerson record. I thought that was the most overplayed, ridiculous story that I wanted no part of
the
entire season. I'm like, no, there's an extra game.
There you go. Yeah, almost 60% want no. All right, I want to make sure we get these in here.
Huh. Okay.
These are, I've got a handful of the rules that they're going to vote on today. I'm going to try to make sure we get the important ones. The biggest one is the tush push in your mind, right? In my mind, in your mind, is that yours?
It's the biggest one, and I think I'm on the opposite end of a lot of the tush push.
The tush push conversation?
Yeah, because I don't get the outrage.
You don't mind it?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I've never liked it. Actually, I more so mind the resistance. I don't necessarily like or dislike it. I just, from a strategic standpoint and from a, like, let's get rid of this. Let's get this out of the game because one team specifically is more successful at it than the other. Like, to me, that's the part that I just can't get with. It is a response to one specific team's success. And if this was the Pettycast, then maybe it would work great for the Pettycast. But, like, the rule changes are not a Pettycast. Like, it is to me a little bit of the coward's way out.
Yeah,
to me. So I am for keeping the tush push just off of principle.
All right. Well, we'll try to predict what we think happens with this. They're voting on it today. You need 24 votes to change a rule, to overturn something.
Okay.
Here's Adam Schefter laying out how the tush push vote today could play out.
It's going to take 24 votes here at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach, Florida, on Tuesday to get the tush push ban. That's a lot of votes to get, considering we know that the Eagles aren't going to vote for it, and they say that their former coordinators who become head coaches also aren't going to vote for it. That would be Kellen Moore, the former Eagles offensive coordinator in New Orleans. That would be Shane Steichen, the former Eagles offensive coordinator in Indianapolis. That would be Jonathan Gannon, the former Eagles defensive coordinator in Arizona. If that is the case, that's four votes that they would not be getting to overturn the tush push play. Now you need to come up with essentially a few more, and all of a sudden it wouldn't pass. But the one thing that I don't think can be underestimated here is if Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, doesn't want this play in the game, somehow the league is pretty good and convincing at finding the votes it needs to get the support it wants to get the play banned.
All right, so that was Adam Schefter. This feels like the movie. You ever see the movie The American President?
Yeah.
With Michael Douglas?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the redhead's name that he dates in that movie?
Oh, damn it, you would ask me on the
She was
spot.
In The Sopranos for an episode, too. God, what is her name?
I don't remember that.
Is it Annette Bening?
Annette Bening. It is Annette Bening.
Good pool, Ben.
Ben's our movie expert.
Here we go.
It's Annette Bening. There was some ecological bill they were trying to get passed.
Yep.
And they literally had, like, a gigantic war room wall with faces of all the voters, all the people in the Senate and Congress and things like that.
Yep.
And they're literally counting the votes.
Yep.
I wonder if Howie Roseman has that. Do we have the votes?
Yeah.
I need I just need nine.
Yeah.
I just need nine votes.
I
know I got Gannon. You know, like,
I like the
Sirianni's
image
Sirianni's hanging up the phone like, just got off the phone with Cohen.
Yeah.
He's on our side on this one.
I like the image of their mugs up there and them taking a Sharpie up there and crossing them off.
No, they just put up the picture of the 32 coaches from the league meeting.
Yeah.
And they put happy faces on the ones that have the votes. Okay, prediction time.
Yeah.
When we come in tomorrow, well, Seth is not here if you come in tomorrow, but when we all wake up tomorrow,
sure.
Is the tush push still legal?
I don't think it is.
You think it gets voted down? You think they get 24 votes to get rid of it?
I think they get the votes, but also that caveat that we heard at the end there from Adam Schefter. He's like, either they're going to get the votes.
Well, Roger wants, Roger gets.
Or Roger going to find a way. And I tend to believe that.
Roger's Michael Douglas in
this. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it is not legal.
Okay.
Even though I am in support of it, or I'm just against the fervor against it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
this team does it well. They should deserve to do it well.
Yep.
My solution to it is, and it used to be this way, ban anybody pushing their own teammate forward. I think I've always thought that's counterintuitive. Like, no, it's not rugby here. Like, let the guy run the play out and let the defense get an opportunity to bring him down. I don't like guys shoving their teammates forward. You get rid of that, you get rid of the tush push.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't actually even remember, and it hasn't been that long since this became legal, but I don't remember that era. So, like, I just, for as long as I can remember, it actually
lived in a world.
It actually has been okay to push your guy. Yeah. It actually kind of has been rugby. And so, in my mind, it kind of is.
The other rule that is, I think, relevant to the Texans, given the fact that whenever they make the playoffs, they seem to win their division and get the 4 seed, like literally, practically every year.
Yeah.
All 8 seasons they've made the postseason, other than, I think, one. They were the 3. But the last 2 years, they've been the 4 seed with a 10-7 record. And more importantly, for purposes of this conversation, have played a wild card team, the 5 seed, with a better record than them during the regular season.
Yep.
Now, blown the doors off of both of them.
Yep. Got to host them. Yep.
But Cleveland was 11-6 when the Texans played them 2 years ago. The Chargers were 11-6 when the Texans played them last year. Mm-hmm. Detroit has proposed a rule where all 4 division winners would make the playoffs, and plus 3 wildcard teams, but the seeding would be done by record.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you think happens?
No, I do support this 100%.
You do?
And it's awkward.
Judas!
It's awkward because I don't support it from a Texan standpoint, yeah. And so I don't like the local how it would affect us locally.
Right.
And so to that end, though, I would just challenge the Texans to just have a better record, to just be better, and then this won't have to affect us at all, and I'd be fine with that. Like, hey, win your division, but also be the 2 seed or the 3 seed. Like, let's do what Will Anderson Jr. said at the end of the year and not lose to the Jets and blow the game against even the Lions.
And the Titans.
Or lose to the Titans at home. Like, let's try not to do that, and maybe we're a higher seed.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't like how it could impact the Texans if they continue to do things the way they've done it the last 2 years, but I do think this is the right thing to do.
I wonder if they're voting for it. I wonder if the Texans are voting in favor of this.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's
because they would be voting against their own interest, but at the same time, it'd be like, this makes sense.
Yeah, it does, and yet I would vote against it because I'm a big believer. If you're going to have divisions, make them mean something significant. And I get it. You win your division, you're in the postseason, you're in the dance. I'm just a big believer. If you have divisions, then you reward the division winner with not just being in there, but you reward them with. I feel like home field advantage is an appropriate reward, even if you're winning your division. Yeah. 9-8.
The only issue is that we understand that not all divisions are created equal, and as occupiers of the AFC South, nobody knows that probably better than us.
That's it. That is what we do. We occupy the AFC South.
Yeah. So I mean, look. To me, I think this is an actual fair rule change proposal.
You think it passes?
I do. I do think this.
You think that one? So you think this one
makes the most sense?
So you think both the tush push ban and the reseeding both pass?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I think, boy, I think I'm oppo. I wrote a piece on the Houston Press about this today, and I think I went oppo on both of those. Oh, we should bet on this. Mm. Should bet a little lunch or something like that.
Yeah, we could do that.
A little Beck's primage.
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. Up next, the biggest name free agent still out there was seen working out with a future teammate possibly. What is the head coach of this team saying about this free agent? And then we got something at the total opposite end of the free agent spectrum, a former Texan. We've got that for you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer. where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together. Let's drive.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
So the league meetings are going on right now in West Palm Beach. And there's a video out there of Mike Tomlin answering questions about Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about the video in a second. Here was Mike Tomlin. This is Aaron Rodgers, who visited with the Steelers for damn near a whole day last week. And still, I would say, definitely the biggest name free agent still out there. Aaron Rodgers was spotted throwing the ball with DK Metcalf earlier this week, who's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Here was Mike Tomlin on where things are at with Aaron Rodgers right now.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
So that was Mike Tomlin. What's getting the most attention, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in a second. B. Scott, Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne today. Mike Tomlin is sweating his ass off in this video. There's reporters kind of, he's sitting at the table. The reporters are all kind of standing around him.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing the air circulation probably isn't all that good.
Yeah.
But he's wiping his face off. Like there were people very concerned about his health in watching this video yesterday.
Yeah, assumed that either he's sick or nobody thinks he's on drugs or anything.
No,
but
no.
Like, but it gave that feel of, hey, something's not right, because yes, like he's sweating in an abnormal fashion. He's like Patrick Ewing out there sweating.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like it's almost gross. Yeah, no, that was definitely jarring. But also, Mike Tomlin is like newly bald. Like, how long has he been bald?
That's a good
maybe
question.
A year or two.
I don't know. He's always got a hat on.
He usually has a hat on. Yeah. And I feel like he's only been bald but for maybe the last couple of years or so. And again, we don't see him without the hat a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe we're just now being exposed to how sweaty of a guy he actually
is. Yeah,
maybe
so.
Something we don't normally notice.
Maybe so.
I hope that's it and it's not anything else.
Well, I hope it's not one of these things where he's getting a physiological reaction to the mere mention of Aaron Rodgers, because this could be his quarterback this coming season.
Oh, yeah. Does Aaron Rodgers make him sweat?
Do you buy into...
Good.
No, that would be bad. Do you buy into Aaron Rodgers playing catch with DK Metcalf meaning anything?
It's hard for... I mean, why would he be doing that? Like, I don't understand. I don't see the connection otherwise. Like, I know that they both have dated famous women. Other than that, like I don't see why they would be in the same room at the same time. Other than this,
does Aaron Rodgers scare you at all on any team, Steelers or anybody else at this stage?
No, I think he's interesting though, and he's definitely, I think, better than what they had. And so maybe if I was...
Probably should scare us a little bit. The one good half of football he played
was
the second half against the Texans.
And maybe if I was, you know, a fan of another team in the North, in the AFC North, maybe I would be a little bit more nervous about it, because I do think, you know, take out Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, insert Aaron Rodgers, especially the back half of Aaron Rodgers, or the back half of his season, and even the little bit that we saw against the Texans last year, that's a better quarterback, you know, and that's a team that is always, you know, around the 8-9 win mark, always a decent team, and seems like they've been a quarterback away for the almost decade that Ben Roethlisberger has been gone now. So to me, that changes their trajectory as a team for sure.
It's a weird scenario, because I like, empirically, do I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Russell Wilson? I do.
Yeah.
And yet I can't get past the fact that he was 5-12 last year for the Jets, and the Jets don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets, they're nope, we're good.
And then gave $40 million to one of the guys that he's going to end up replacing.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. Who was the backup to Russell Wilson.
Correct. It's a weird dance and musical chairs that's going on with the quarterback situation.
And I guess this is my hope, is that as a Texans fan, that the Texans are just above all this.
Yeah.
That the Texans can figuratively look down on the Jets and the Steelers from the balcony and say, oh, look at those. They're figuring their whole thing out down there. We don't need to do that. I hope that's where we are right now.
Yeah. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers takes the Steelers. To me, the Steelers and the Texans are still swimming in the similar water of being in that next tier of AFC teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the class of it, obviously, is the Chiefs, probably the Ravens, and the Bills, right? Like, those are probably the three best teams in the AFC. And then everybody else is kind of like trying to play some version of catch up. And I feel like the Texans and Steelers are both in that spot. Even with Aaron Rodgers, I feel like the Steelers are still in that place until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
And the Texans are too, to be fair. So, like, to me, the Texans' road is all about still chasing the Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills. And, you know, the Steelers wouldn't factor into that any differently for me.
No. Brandon Scott in for Seth Payne. So that's at the top end of the free agency food chain right now. Aaron Rodgers, which tells you kind of where we are with free agents.
Yeah.
I would say at the other end, and I wouldn't have put this guy there, except he kind of put himself there. Have you seen Pharaoh Brown talking about becoming a Miami Dolphin?
I did see this.
Former Texans legend, Pharaoh Brown. Hashtag Texans legend.
Yeah.
Pharaoh Brown. This was Pharaoh Brown doing an interview with the Miami media, asking, hey, what was it that attracted you to this opportunity with the Dolphins?
Isaiah Smalls from the Miami Herald. How are you?
How you doing, Isaiah? Nice to meet you, brother.
Nice to meet you as well. Just generally speaking, you know, why Miami? You know, what attracted you to Miami, and what were some of your first impressions of Coach McDaniel?
The opportunity kind of attracted me there. What they say, sometimes beggars can't be choosers.
He's being honest.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
He always has
I like that, where he goes, oh, that's hilarious.
His own joke.
His own joke was hilarious. Yeah, that was good.
But it was, though.
Amid no laughter from anyone else on the call.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Zoom. Maybe they were muted, Ben. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, he had to be his own audience there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pharaoh Brown.
But you know what? He's always been pretty candid and straightforward.
He's very affable. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. A good interview.
He is one of those guys that will always remind me of the fever dream that was 2021 with the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pharaoh Brown, man.
But man, he's got so many tools. Like, he's big. He's a mauler. Yeah. Like, it seemed like it made a lot of sense, you know, and I get why he's been able to kind of stick around the league, even though he's not that great of a player. He's big and he's physical, and, you know, what a lot of teams want in a football player, just not very talented.
You're a lifelong Houstonian, right?
That's indeed fact.
You're a lifelong Houstonian. Did you, when the Titans, I'm shifting gears here, when the Titans would wear the Oiler uniforms, how did you feel about that the last couple of years?
So the first time they did it, I thought it was just clearly, like, I didn't care as much about them wearing it. I could tell and knew, obviously, it was a direct shot because they did it against the Texans, and so I thought it was unnecessarily petty and disrespectful, and also just the whole conversation around it, I have found to be disrespectful and dishonest to the legacy that the Oilers were supposed to have here. You know, so I thought that they were, I thought they were disrespecting us as a city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see, there's a long article in The Athletic, and I'll find who wrote it here in just a second. It tells the whole story of Bud Adams leaving here. Like, it, the genesis of the article is Amy Adams Strunk choosing not to wear the Oiler jerseys this coming season.
Yeah.
For those who haven't heard that. Getting the tar beat out of them by the Texans twice apparently was enough to say, hey, we're going to retire these for a year at least.
Yeah, them things might have a little bit of bad mojo for the Titans.
It tells the whole story about Bud Adams and all the different back and forth. There's some stuff in here. I'm not a lifelong Houstonian. I moved here the year that they decided to move to Nashville. So I never really got to experience the whole Oilers thing at any of its various peaks.
Yeah.
But in the article here, they quote a friend of the show. Larry, they call him Larry Stafford.
That ain't his name.
On the ground, it's not his name.
That's not his name. But
that might have been what he gave them as his name, though.
Yeah,
you know?
We'll take it.
Larry might have his reasons to not want his full name out there.
This
you know?
Is one of those what's understood doesn't have to be explained.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you know who he is, you know why that name might be what they give him.
Right. On the grounds at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo this month, passersby wore Oilers hats as they walked between NRG Stadium and the Astrodome. Larry Stafford, whose middle name is N, I guess.
Yeah.
Larry N. Stafford.
Do we get the hyphens too? Larry and Stafford.
Right. Right, like it's a convenience store or something.
Yeah, so it's just one name, actually.
Sip and go,
No last name.
Larry and Stafford.
Larry and Stafford, one name.
They say Larry Stafford, a Texan season ticket holder since the team's 2002 inauguration, said it's a, quote, gut punch walking by the dome on game days, devoid of any tenant. It's a withering tombs. This is the writer, not Larry. That'd be awesome if Larry's like, you know, devoid of any tenant, this is a withering tombstone.
Hey, but hey, Larry, where you been?
And I'll holla. it's cheaper to maintain. Officials say it's cheaper to maintain than to demolish, and perhaps a reminder for the Texans and Titans of what can happen when things get too far gone. Because that's what they say in this article. They talk about how, like, Bud Adams ended up moving to Nashville because basically nobody thought he would ever do that.
Yep.
They're like, it's Bud.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
It's Bud being Bud.
Yeah. Look, I'm glad we're where we are now. I got a chuckle out of Larry Stafford getting a quote in the piece.
Wait a minute, though. The way this was described, am I supposed to believe that somebody was outside walking around NRG Stadium and just happened to roll up on Larry and Stafford?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I'll text because Larry and find out.
That would be fortuitous.
Yes.
Right? For you to
of
just,
all the people.
Yeah. And you know what? You know who I'm going to interview? Not just some random blowjob, but it's going to be actually one of the more well-known radio callers in all of our market.
You know what? I need to ask Larry. How did the Athletic get in touch with you? Was this happenstance, or no did they arrange it?
Somebody had to have asked around and been given Larry's name.
That would have been amazing. If later, like another paragraph down here, they're like, Debbie Texan, middle initial T for the. We talked to her about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They get all the super fans.
It was like a couple of years ago, I remember one of the TV stations like accidentally interviewed Adrian Peterson about a thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was like, hey, here's this citizen. Yes. And it was like, wait a minute. No, that's one of the greatest football players of our era.
Oh, man.
What are we talking about?
All right. Monday night, not as much fun as Sunday for Houstonians. Astros and Rockets. Disappointment last night. We'll spin the wheel, talk about both. But, man, the Astros got to get this thing going. Is there a solution out there for the bats? For the Astros, we will discuss coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.